If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and the Father will give you another advocate, a comforter to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees the Spirit nor knows the Spirit. You know the Spirit because the Spirit abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. The word of the Lord. And you may be seated. At this time, we're going to excuse the younger kids to junior worship. So let's sing.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
Good morning, everyone. I feel like I have to start with this confession. During the welcome, there was a mix-up on the slides. Let me just affirm, in case it wasn't obvious, that was not Kelly's fault. And let me just affirm, in case it wasn't obvious, that was not Amani's fault. That was the fault of the guy who puts the slides together, as it turns out, who's standing up here right now. So let me just own that. I deleted words from Scripture. Yes, right? I've deleted Scripture. Oh, take away or add to. Yes, I'm sorry about that. And great job working through it, Kelly. Thank you for that. Man, it's been a weird day for me, honestly. I woke up this morning after such an interesting dream, which has nothing to do with what we're going to talk about, but it's such an interesting dream. I had a dream about all of you last night. And we were at a big house, like imagine like a vacation Verbo or something, right? With this huge table that could sit like 30 people, like mid-reach or whatever. And it was beautiful and we were in conversation, but it was also frightening because we weren't on vacation. It turns out it was the apocalypse, and we were all there together trying to figure out what to do about the apocalypse. And it wasn't like zombie apocalypse or World War III apocalypse or like viral infection apocalypse. It was an apocalypse of dragons, of all things. And no one could go outdoors because these dragons were shooting flames from their throat and you'd get burnt to a crisp if you went outdoors. And we were all sitting around at the table and we're trying to figure out what to do. And I was feeling particularly nervous about it, but many of you were like, it'll be fine. But I was saying, but they've seen us through the window. They know we're here. Anyway, we finished our conversation and none of that is the main point of the dream. The main point is this. We finished the prayer, and everyone was getting up to leave. And it occurred to me in just that moment, I wasn't wearing a shirt. And I looked down, and it turns out I wasn't wearing pants. I wasn't wearing shoes or socks. The only thing I was wearing in the fire dragon breathing apocalypse was a black Speedo. Like I was in some sort of apocalyptic water polo team or something. And I needed to somehow get to my room without any of you noticing. And so everyone's sort of talking and chatting and turning their backs. And of course I popped up and I said, Lisa, cover me. And I ran for it. And I went to the room. And I said, Lisa, do you think anyone saw me? And she said, no, don't worry about it. I don't think anyone saw you. And then my alarm went off, and here I am. So I don't know what that's all about. I am confused, but if you are a dream interpreter, perhaps you could enlighten me after service. Man, speaking of confusing things, we get the Gospel of John today, which is wonderful. If you love me, our passage begins, you will keep my commandments. And our passage ends with, and those who keep my commandments are those who love me. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and those who keep my commandments are those who love me. I wonder, do you like being confused? Because if so, the Gospel of John is the book for you. It is, among all the Gospels, the most notoriously difficult. Its red-letter words, the words that Jesus speaks, are almost always aggravatingly elusive and evasive. They are endlessly enigmatic. So, when we come to a moment like today, when Jesus seems to speak so lucidly, it is such a breath of fresh air. We can be easily lulled into believing we finally got him all figured out here in the Gospel of John. If you love me, Jesus says, you will keep my commandments. And then, those who keep my commandments are those who love me. Simple Simon. We understand every blessed word he's just said. Jesus is essentially saying the same thing twice, just in reverse order. Love me by keeping my commandments. Keep my commandments by loving me. Easy peasy. Sermon's finished. Amen. Only here's the problem. When Jesus speaks clearly in the Gospel of John, I begin to get nervous. I can't help myself. It's like the Blazers with a lead in the fourth quarter. I suspect this isn't the end of the story. And for the simple fact that it's so utterly out of character for Jesus in John's gospel to speak in any sort of lucid manner. And so, I begin to wonder, when it's clear like this, what am I missing? For John's Jesus always has some subtler point he is trying to proclaim than what we see on the surface. And so, what I'd like to suggest to you today is that is exactly what is going on here in John 14. In fact, what I'd like to suggest to you today is that Jesus' deceptively simple statements in John 14 are nothing less than a radical revision of religion. Or, more precisely, a radical revision of what religion has a tendency to become. So, to get there, I'd like to pose two questions to our passage this morning. Two questions that I'm hopeful will help clarify for us just what Jesus is up to in this putatively perspicuous pericope. I had to choose three words that didn't make sense because then it'd feel like the Gospel of John, right? In this passage, it's meant to be clear. Question number one. If loving Jesus means keeping his commandments, and if keeping his commandments is how we love him, then it seems essential that we must first ask ourselves the obvious sort of question, just what commandments is Jesus talking about here? And here's where it begins to get interesting. For as it turns out, Jesus doesn't offer commandments, plural, in the Gospel of John. And already, his simple Simon, easy peasy statement has become a bit more complex. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Only, he hasn't offered commandments. There are, of course, plenty of commandments available to him in the Old Testament. I bet you can think of 10 fairly famous ones right off the top of your head. And Jesus certainly affirms various commandments throughout his ministry, highlighting two in particular from Moses. But as for Jesus' own commandments, commandments that he himself has offered us, well, those are a good deal more difficult to find. Teachings in the Gospel of John, yes. Words of wisdom, yes. Complex, confusing, and convoluted conversations in the Gospel of John, plenty of those. But commandments coming from the lips of Jesus in the Gospel of John, not so much. In fact, according to scholars who count this sort of thing, in all of John's Gospel, there is exactly one commandment that comes from the mouth of Jesus. It occurs in John 13:34, just one chapter prior to our reading this morning. A new commandment I give to you, Jesus says. And this comes, by the way, right after he's finished washing his disciples' feet. A new commandment I give to you, that you should, do you remember how it ends? Love one another. Admittedly, it doesn't sound all that new, but that's what Jesus says. My commandment is that you love one another, just as I have loved you. By this, he continues, everyone will know that you are my disciples. And there you have it. The one commandment in all of John that Jesus offers us. In John 14, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. In chapter 13, Jesus clarifies, my commandment is that you love one another. Putting the two together, we could summarize by saying, if you love me, you will love one another. And honestly, that all still feels refreshingly clear. Indeed, words to live by. Love God, love your neighbor. In the Gospel of John, however, when it all feels clear, you should recall that is a clue that we may be missing something. And in fact, for those with ears to hear, what Jesus is doing here is as subtle as it is subversive, a radical revision of religion. But how so? It all seems so obvious and common sense. How so? Well, we'll come back to that in just a moment. But first, our second clarifying question for this passage. In John 14, Jesus says, keep my commandments. In John 13, as we've just heard, Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you. And I wonder, did you notice any difference there between those two? Admittedly, it is minor, but again, the minor matters in the Gospel of John. In chapter 14, Jesus speaks about commandments, plural. But in chapter 13, indeed, in the entire rest of the Gospel, he only ever offers one commandment, singular. And the question is, why? Why does Jesus refer to his one commandment in John 13 as multiple commandments in John 14? Now, before you roll your eyes at that question, I confess it may sound like we are splitting some theological hairs here, because he uses the plural in one place and the singular in another. But remember, John and Jesus in the Gospel of John are always consistently careful with their words. And so, it is at least worth asking, why would Jesus offer a singular commandment, but then urge us to follow his multiple commandments? What are we supposed to be hearing here? Well, the answer to this second question, I believe, has everything to do with the word love, the very thing Jesus is commanding. Now, as you well know, love is a notoriously difficult word to define. We love lots of things in this life. For example, I love God. I love Lisa. I love my kids. I love you, East County. I love the Seahawks. I love pancakes. I love Wendell Berry's essays and Edward Norton's films and Bill Hunt's innuendo jokes. I love each of these things. I use the very same word love in each and every instance. But truth be told, in case it's not clear, I don't actually love God and pancakes in the same way. I don't love Lisa and the Seahawks in the same way. And I don't love my kids and Bill's clever jokes in the same way. I've heard it said that all you need is love, which in fact may be true. But the question is, what do we mean by love? Even, and remember this, even Hitler once famously said he did what he did out of love. Everything hinges, therefore, on just how we intend that simple four-letter word. And so, Jesus clarifies for us. He helps us understand what he means by love, and he says, love one another as I have loved you. And just there, we discover the parameters for love. Again, as you well know, love must look like Jesus. Which means Hitler was wrong in what he said about loving this world. But it also means if love must look like Jesus, then love includes everything from washing feet to attending weddings to caring for your mother, even as you hang on a cross. Love looks like Jesus. So when Jesus commands his disciples to love one another as I have loved you, he is not pointing to some abstract ideal called love, singular, for there is no such thing. Rather, he's pointing to the life he has lived among them. He's saying, what you see in me, do for one another. Hence, that single commandment becomes a host of plural commandments. One word with many forms. Here it looks like foot washing, there it looks like food sharing, but the command remains the same with each. Love as I have loved you. A single command with plural applications. Commandments. So, with all of that said, we know what commandment Jesus is now referring to. The command to love one another. And now we know why he moves from the singular to the plural. Because love, singular, has many forms. Plural. But where exactly does all of that even get us? While we've managed to make this simple statement a bit more complex this morning, really, what have we gained so far in all that we've said? For I suspect that none of what I've told you already is either new or radical to any of you. Nor do I suspect it was new or radical to any of his disciples. You already knew that when Jesus says, love me by obeying my commands, you already knew that meant love one another. You already knew that love is a singular command with plural applications. Love means lots of things in practice. You knew all of that. And so did his apostles. So, why would we say that Jesus' words here are subtle and subversive? How is any of this a radical revision of religion? Because honestly, it all just sounds a lot like common sense so far. Well, it turns out the answer to that has actually been staring us in the face the entire time. Only, it's difficult to discern it until we put together all that we've now discussed. Jesus' commandment is that we love one another. You know that. And since love looks like Jesus, the command singular is actually a whole heap of commandments, plural. You know that as well. But what we haven't yet noted, what's been right there all along, even if unstated, is this. Jesus has managed, in the span of a handful of verses, to equate two words that have no business being together. He has effectively fused two terms that cannot coexist, namely commandment and love. Just think about that for a moment. What do command and love have to do with one another? And yet we, no doubt just like his apostles, have been nodding right along the whole time to everything he's been saying. As if all this made clear and obvious, easy peasy sense. But let me ask you, how could anyone possibly command love? And the answer, of course, is that you can't. That's not how it works for anyone. You can command someone to, say, wash their feet, but you can't command them to love the feet they're washing or the person to whom those feet belong. You can't command love any more than you can command, say, happiness or contentment or a strong sense of self-esteem. Commanding someone to be happy is absolutely ineffective. And so is the command, love. For if a command were all it took, then we would have solved the world's problems ages ago. But as we all know, it simply doesn't work that way. And that, I believe, is precisely Jesus' point. In a religion obsessed with finding rules, policing rules, taking one another to task for breaking rules, Jesus says to his disciples, "My commandment is that you love one another," which is, of course, no commandment at all. It's an oxymoron right from the start, with the result that Jesus has completely redefined for his followers what it means to follow God's commands. Or rather, Jesus has reoriented us back to what it meant all along from the beginning. My commandment, Jesus says, is not a tablet of tasks that you could tape on the wall and check off as you've completed them. But rather, and here seems to be his point, my commandment is a habit of being you are meant to tape on your hearts. To follow God's commands, Jesus is saying, is not to follow any commands at all, but rather to love as I have loved you, in whatever Christ-like form that may take in each and every situation you encounter. And so, the beauty of Jesus' deceptively simple statements this morning is this. He's managed, without even trying, to bypass all the literalism and legalism that inevitably attaches to a religion of commands, and has returned us instead to the heart of the matter. A remarkably difficult lesson for the Christians of Jesus' day to learn, by the way, just as it's been a remarkably difficult lesson for the Christians of our day to learn as well. For we, just like they back then, we love our laws. We love our rules and our regulations. We love our Pharisaic convictions about all God's commands. We love commandments. But that, Jesus says, is to get the whole thing exactly backwards. For all the laws that ever were are summed up in this: love as I have loved you. For in the end, it really is just that simple. Amen.